The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I wanted to start off the show and just kind of looking at the excitement level and the fact that we're right now in the getting really into the gritty of fall camp, full pads, we're seeing video, we're talking with coaches, talking with players. It's finally upon us. And just, I like to gauge people's feels, people's mood, where everyone's at with social media and message boards. I know that's not the best indicator for how everything's going, for how much excitement's out there for Razorback football fans. But I think it's as good of an indicator as you can find in this day and age. Seeing what people are talking about. Whenever an article is posted, what are they commenting about? Do they even care? Is there a lot of comments? Where's it all at? And I got to tell you, folks, the one thing that I have noticed more than anything in this fall camp is that people are so cautiously optimistic. It's a cliche term, but they are more cautiously optimistic about Chad Morris and the Arkansas Razorback football team than I've ever seen of a team. At least the ones that I've covered. People want to find reasons to get excited. People are trying to find reasons to believe that Chad Morris is going to be the guy that's going to bring Arkansas a lot of success. People are trying to figure out if this is going to be something that'll make it work and that they can get out of the dark days of the Brett Bielema era. People are trying to find ways. And it's no different in fall camp. Luckily for Chad Morris, he's done such a great job, him and his staff, on the recruiting trail for the 2019 class, that has been able to give some excitement to people. They've been able to at least point at that and say, hey, we don't know how many games we're going to win this year. We don't know how our offense is going to look. We don't know if we're going to be any better than what we were last season, but you know what? The future looks bright because we're able to bring in a lot of high-quality players, and most of them being on the defensive side of the ball, which we all know that if you want to be a good team in the SEC, you have to have a good defense. Offense is important too, and I'm not saying it's not, but good defense is where it's at. And, oh, I thought that John Chavis is too old, doesn't recruit. Well, him and his staff are doing a pretty good job so far. So that element right there has gotten fans excited about Chad Morris because he's out there recruiting like crazy and doing a fantastic job of it so far. That's all well and good. But what does that do for you this season? Nothing. Zero. That is going to have no impact on what happens on the field this year. So where do you look for in your excitement? And this is going to be our theme of the day, our question of the day, if you will. Where are you finding excitement in the 2018 Arkansas Razorback football season? Is your excitement in the fact that it's a new offense? It's a new look? It's a new feel? It's a new culture? Is your excitement in the defensive side of the ball with John Chavis because you feel like there's some talent left behind on that side of the ball and putting him in positions to see some pressure? Is that where your excitement's at? Is your excitement at an offense that's a hurry-up tempo type of offense that is going to be more exciting to watch, more entertaining to watch, where you feel confident in Chad Morris's abilities as an offensive play caller? Is that where it's going to come from? Or maybe you're just excited about the stadium expansion, how cool it looks, and the fact that you'll be able to go and tailgate on some Saturdays by having some great food, some great drinks, going into the stadium and calling Woo Pig Suey. Maybe that's where your excitement comes from. But regardless, every single one of you find excitement, find reasons to be excited about this upcoming football season. It may make sense to you, and it may not make sense to me, but you have something. So let me tell you why I'm excited about this football season. Let me tell you where I'm looking for excitement. What I've seen from Chad Morris has been pretty impressive so far. I'm not going to crown him as the savior of the program and give him a contract extension just yet. In fact, even if he went 6-6 this year, I would not want to sit back and say, you know what? He only went six. He went 6-6, but I like what I saw. So contract extension. Contract extension for everybody. That's not what I'm doing. It's not what I want. My excitement resides in the fact that I believe you have a competent, eager, energetic, hardworking coaching staff that will not be my way or the highway mentality, but a mentality of what do I have, what are my strengths, how do I make it work? I believe that's what Chad Morris has. His staff understands that they don't have a great deck of cards to deal with. They understand that they are taking over a program that's been in some bad shape, that's had some issues, that's been going through a lot of different things, that's been extremely tough to understand, that's extremely tough to overcome. They all know it. But what they have is the high school coach mentality, at least from Chad Morris's perspective, where I didn't have these recruits. These aren't my guys. And it's the same way in high school. He doesn't get to recruit, at least he shouldn't, and no high school coach should. But he didn't get to recruit the guys that he gets in high school. They're just the next upcoming class. So what does a great high school coach do? They look at that, and they say, okay, where are my strengths? Is it in the running backs? Is it wide receivers? Is it the quarterbacks? Where is it at? It's crazy. It's just one of those things that I believe is something that's going to really benefit Chad Morris because of those reasons. And it's going to benefit this team this year because of those reasons. Adjusting to what your strengths are. Finding out what you're good at and utilizing it to make your team better. That's why my excitement rides. I'm excited in the fact that you have a team that's eager, chip on their shoulder, something to prove, and they have a guy like Chad Morris who brings a lot of energy, a lot of excitement himself, and you can see it pouring over onto the team. One of the best examples of that is Cheyenne O'Grady, the tight end. Every time I've talked to him, he has mentioned how excited he is and how he's never been happier. He's never been more excited about a season. He's never been more excited to be utilized as a tight end and his role in the offense. He has never been more stoked for what's upcoming this football season. I'm excited. You're excited. It's football, folks. It's college football, folks. It's Saturdays. It's watching games from dusk till dawn. It's tailgating. It's everything. It's not just a game. It's an event. And it's upon us. Just three more Saturdays, folks. Three more Saturdays. And that excitement that you're finding, you'll be able to see if you can ride it until the end of the season. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. And that's the poll. We'll make that the question of the day of where's your excitement riding with on this Arkansas Razorback football season.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
I just wanted to ask you this because, you know, you're Tyler Wilson. You went through training camps and in the preseason games and all that stuff. What is that like behind? Because when fans look at it, they're like, oh, yeah, it's football, but it's not real football. But at the same time, you're like, if you look at it, players, they want to take it seriously, at least a lot of them, because they're still trying to find roster spots and make sure that they show out and all that. It's just a fascinating thing where it's, you know, from the fans' perspective, it's almost like, yeah, it's a game, but not really a game. It's kind of just, oh, it's exciting to have football back. For the players that are on the field, though, it's probably extremely meaningful to make sure that they perform very well.
Yeah, right around this time of year is when I pretty much vomit every year because I'm like, okay, Dallas Cowboys, they got Dak Prescott. We all know that Dak. All right, well, all right, Kellen Moore. Oh, I know Kellen Moore. He was a pretty good player. Oh, he's coaching the quarterbacks now. okay, so who's the second and the third guy? Mike White and Cooper Rush. All right, wow. Mike White. Let's click on this old boy. Where's he from? Yeah, he played for Western Kentucky. Okay. And Cooper Rush, where'd he play? He's a Central Michigan guy. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Uh-huh.
But my point is, like, I'm going, golly, who are these guys that are, you know, and that's, I think that's so funny because sometimes, you know, and these guys are trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to make a roster spot, and are they going to be 5 or 10 year veterans in, you know, in the NFL? Probably not, but they're going to get a lot of snaps and some opportunity around this time of year. And I think it's fun to watch, you know, those guys potentially try to make something of their career and make something happen. And typically the situation and the environment for them to have a whole lot of success is not real great. You know, they're playing with guys that are fill-in guys, maybe that haven't even been there the whole camp. You know, there's guys that come in and off the camp roster. So I think that's always interesting to kind of watch it happen and you know, maybe see who the guy, if Dak Prescott goes down, who the next guy is. I think this time of year is always fun. The fourth game of the preseason is maybe a little less interesting. I think the first three are really good.
Yeah, because it's, you know, just like you mentioned some of the quarterbacks, I think that's fun to see too, is because everyone wants to see, oh, Baker Mayfield, what's he going to do? But then, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of other guys that are just trying to find their spot and get a roster spot. And it seems like there's probably a lot of moving and shaking. I've watched the Hard Knocks programs, and I know that those aren't indicative of all the programs and all the franchises of what they go through. But just watching that and seeing the processes of the interchangeability, people moving around, you bring in some new guys, you cut some other guys, you just – It looks so unorganized when you watch something like that, but at the same time, it is very organized because they know what they're looking for and they know what they're trying to find out from some of these guys. And these quarterbacks, like you mentioned, it's like from someone who watches college football a lot and you see it, they're like, that guy? How is that guy getting, you know, even getting a chance? Who is he? We don't even know who he is.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. And not that the guys can't play. They can typically throw the football and – But the biggest difference is, I think, the mental ability from, and this is just quarterbacks, but let's just the broad spectrum of guys that get the opportunity. I think talent is so overrated in the NFL. I think there's guys with a lot of really good talent. That's how you get there. But everybody's got good talent. Now it's like, you know, you're in the middle of training camp. And it's digesting information. It's, you know, you get one ball, you get an opportunity, you're a wide receiver, and you get one ball, and you got to make a play. You got to make it, especially when you get the opportunity, you know, in a game. And you know, I think you're fighting for special team spots. You're fighting for – there are 53 spots, and I think probably of those 53 spots, you can go into camp, and there's probably already 40 of them. 35 to 40 of them that are already taken. And so really you're fighting for the back 15 spots. That's what you're looking at when you're watching, I think, game tape or when you're watching these preseason games. You're trying to figure out who the back 15 guys are that will fulfill mm-hmm. the roster.
Yeah, and I think it's cool too because I've talked with a lot of buddies about this and just people in general. Do you think that there maybe should be some type of exhibition or preseason games in college football? Maybe not to the extent of the NFL, but, you know, I think in basketball, there's exhibition games, there's baseball, there's exhibition games. The NFL, you have preseason games, ones that don't count. Do you think it'd be kind of cool to see maybe one or two games in college football where it's just a scrimmage or a practice against other teams, something like that?
You know, what I think would be really, really good, and nobody's ever asked me this question before, but, I mean, in high school football, on Monday nights, the high school football team goes out and they support the JV team, right?
Yep.
And I think that's after practice, you go play Southside and Northside JV. I mean, that's just that's typically, you go anywhere in the country, that's how it's operated. You get to college, and for years back in the 60s and 70s, I mean, there used to be multiple versions of your university roster. Are you on the prep squad? Are you on the and I think that the freshman team and the older classmen, I think there's value in doing something like that. And especially for the guys that are going to be either redshirted or not get a lot of playing time, for their development, I think it's huge. And they don't have that in college football. I think beyond just you know, trying to sell tickets for a preseason game, having these inner squad or maybe even it's external, where you bring, you know, you've got a 3 or a 4 day matchup where you have an actual game with the younger or the redshirt players. And then, you know, in the NFL, I think it's probably the biggest frustration. You got 4 games. A lot of the guys are on the 2 deep. Now, a lot of the guys that play in the preseason make the roster and play during the year. You know, but if you're going to expand the roster slightly, and you've got, you know, 10 practice squad guys, and I think there's room to do some inner squad.
Yeah, I just like to see it personally, because it would add excitement for fans and all that stuff. But I feel like for just some of those younger players, like you mentioned, it would be so beneficial to have that, getting as close to a game, maybe a game experience, and having a crowd there, because you can even have something set up to where if it was, say, Arkansas, you know, you had it set up, played at Razorback Stadium, free admission on a Saturday to come check it out.
Arkansas, Oklahoma State prep squad.
Like that, yeah. You know,
and I think that would be fantastic. It would be really good for these young guys. And I know there's the 4-game rule now for you know, guys that can get on the field and play as freshmen, but it doesn't count against their eligibility. But you're not going to put those guys out there on the field if they're not ready, because you jeopardize losing a football game. So, you know, this is a way where there's no risk. Mm-hmm. You know, the only risk is of injury.
Yeah,
it's not, you're risking nothing but time and energy, I guess, is the only thing that you'd lose in terms of doing that. But I think for the development of the young players, it would be hugely beneficial.
Well, Tyler, I think we just figured it out. We finally figured out a way that Arkansas and Arkansas State can play each other. They can have...
That's beautiful.
There you go.
That'd be fantastic.
That'd be great. And it wouldn't count against anything. It would be essentially a junior varsity matchup versus junior varsity. You could play it in a stadium like that. People can come out. And there you go. That doesn't count towards anything, and you finally get the matchup that everybody wants to see of those two teams going against each other. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be beneficial for everybody, and it'd be exciting for the fans to actually get to see it too.
If Arkansas gets beat, then we didn't play.
Yeah.
We didn't play Jerry today because he's gonna play on Saturday night.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You know, I think there's some real value in that, especially for some of these young players.
Yeah,
I really do.
I do too, and I think the fans would love it as well. So who knows? Maybe that'll be something that the NCAA and college football can come together on.
They used to do it, and I don't know why. I don't know why they decided, you know, let's you know, kill that. But you know, I think there's room for it. It's got to be.
Yeah. No, I do too. I do too. They got to find some way, and maybe they'll find some way later down the road. But right now, we'll just have to add to the NFL.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
First hour of the show, we talked a little bit about the offensive line and the maneuvers that Chad Morris has been putting together, and specifically about Yelda Froholt and how he has moved him to center, at least did yesterday's practice. And this is what Chad Morris had to say about how he performed.
He's looking good. I think today was better than yesterday. Obviously, with the transition there and getting the majority of the reps today, I think he's a perfectionist. He studies the game. He wants to be the best. And moving him there is going to help us out right now and help this entire football team. So I thought his footwork was better today. His snaps were a little bit more on time. Yesterday was a little bit delayed in some of the snaps, but today was much better.
So there you have it. And he's talking about Yelda moving to center. And the perspective I gave in the beginning of the show is you see a lot of this where offensive linemen are moving. In fact, you saw it with Brett Bielema when he moved Frank Ragnow, who was more of a guard, moving to the center position, did really well, performed really well. But it's about getting your guys in a position to be really successful. So you might be seeing something where Yelda Froholt, who's the best offensive line on this Arkansas Razorback football team, move over to the center position, just because that's a very important position to have, and they got to make sure they get it down pat. But, Tyler, is this something that actually happens quite often with maneuvering around offensive linemen trying to figure out where they're at, or is this just, again, showing the lack of depth and the lack of ability that the offensive line has for Arkansas right now?
Well, I think you just saw Frank Ragnow got drafted pretty high there in the in the NFL draft by the Lions, right? And in the first round, I think there's a lot of value at that center position, and when you have your best player on your offensive line play in that position, I think you're in a really good spot, and I think that's probably what Chad's trying to relay there. Even to Yelda is, I think there's more communication that has to happen with the center and the rest of that offensive line position than anybody else. And guard and tackle are instrumental. And, yeah, they keep guys off the quarterback. But the communication that happens with the center is what allows everybody else to be on the same page. And so there's the identification, the mental capabilities that exist, and the communication is so vital with that center position that if you don't have that piece of the puzzle right, then it doesn't matter what's going on at the guard or the tackle position. So, I think, your best player on the offensive line, I think that is the quarterback position of the offensive line, and why wouldn't you want to have your best player there?
Yeah, well, and just because you would know a lot more about it, does the center position, it's very important no matter what type of offense you're running, but doesn't it mean a little more, and doesn't it need to be a little more effective when you have an offense like this where it's very up-tempo, making sure the snaps are down, maybe more so than what it was under Brett Bielema?
I think sometimes this offense is probably maybe a little more simple to play center at. Most everything's going to be in shotgun, and I always found it was easier for centers to snap out, shotgun snap in a lot of cases than even an under center for someone to learn how to do that. And beyond that, I think there's also some, the rest of the guys, regardless of what offense you're playing with, you're identifying the Mike linebacker. You're taking a lot of pressure off of the quarterback and making a lot of the calls, and that's why you want a sophisticated guy there. If you're going to have a young quarterback playing the position, you don't want all of the protection responsibilities to fall on his shoulders early on. It's just too much information for him to understand where everybody's going, the routes, and get the ball out of his hand and make the correct decision. That's enough responsibility for a young quarterback. And so beyond that, okay, how can I take? I don't want to put the protection responsibility on him as well. So in a way to lighten the load is, let's move Yelda Frohol. Let's put him at the center position. Make him responsible for getting us in and out of the right protections and alleviate some of that complexity and frustration. I think Chad Morris, even in last week when he came on and talked about some of the things that Ty Story was having trouble with, some of the things that Cole Kelly was having trouble with, is the protection component and the responsibility in adjusting and moving and changing the protections. Austin did all that last year. Austin had along with Frank Ragnow, those two guys were experienced players that made all the adjustments for the blitzes and different things to make sure everybody's protected. This year, you've got a bunch of newbies. So I think bringing Yelda and allowing him, just because mentally he's sophisticated and played enough ball at this point, he could probably pick it up more so than a young player and alleviate some of that responsibility from the quarterback position.
And I noticed you said newbie, which I agree that some of these guys, or most of these guys, have next to no experience. But, guys like Cole Kelly and Ty Story, they've been in the program for quite some time. Is that maybe just something that the backup quarterbacks don't get a lot of experience in, is those protections and changing them up and adjusting them a little bit? Because I feel like if you're a coach, you want to make sure those guys are ready if they have to come in. And was it maybe just not coached to them, or was it maybe just they haven't been able to understand them very effectively?
I think it's so much more complicated than anybody will ever imagine. I still, to this point, I played in the NFL, and if you had to get me out there, I could do it better now with maturity and age than I ever did as a true freshman in college. I didn't even know what they were talking about. But I think for quarterback development in high school, virtually none of the quarterbacks or any of the systems in high school even teach the quarterbacks about the protection because it's so complicated. And so the quarterbacks have no real understanding even what they're doing when they get to college. And so you're trying to tell them, hey, you've got a, you know, you've got six blitzers here, and you got five blockers, or you got six blockers, but you've got to borrow a backside guard. How do we get this? Do we go full slide? Do we go? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat, or do you throw hot? If we got a free blitzer, we've got to get the ball out of our hand. There's a lot of ways to go about it, but it can be complicated. And I think there's guys like Andrew Luck right now. Andrew Luck does not protect himself. The center helps him protect himself. And I think with what you've got right now, the implementation of this offense, every offense has its own protection schemes and their own desires of how to go about it. So in fairness to Ty Story and Cole Kelly, I would say that the Bielema philosophy was a little bit different than the Chad Morris philosophy in terms of protecting himself, even though they do cross paths and cross ideas in terms of protection. They're learning a new concept. So I think, and they've really never pulled the trigger on game day and said, hey, we're going to go rip Y here. Here's a full slide. Pulling the trigger and making a protection check, you know, while the shot clock's going down and the blitz is happening and anticipating the blitz happening is not for the faint of heart. And I think, you know, they're going to go through, that's why I'm saying they're going to go through some, I think, some growing pains here.
So you'd say that's probably one of the more difficult things as a quarterback.
Oh, it is the most difficult
thing. Okay, so it's the most difficult thing because a lot of people see the quarterback position, you know, it's just about, okay, making sure they can throw the ball accurate and they have power behind it, and then that's all you got to do. And then, you know, yeah, you, as long as you know what route this guy's running, you look there, you look there, you look there, and if there no one's open, you throw it away or tuck it and run. But the protections of it all, I think, like you said, and this is just from my – I don't have any expertise on the fact, but just from what I've heard from you talk about and all that, it's something that even a guy like Cole Kelly, Ty Story, guys have really good quarterbacks, highly recruited coming out of high school, been in the program for a while – it just sounds like something that you can't even begin to grasp the – not because it's the stress, too, because you line up to the line. What you have, what, 20, 15, 20 seconds to kind of figure everything out of where it's going?
This, and that's why I've been an advocate, again, for this offense. And I hate to keep saying it because it sounds like I don't have anything else to talk about. But just to simplify this to everybody, if I break the huddle and I've got a play call and I've got, you know – 20, I get up there, I've got 10 seconds, and then I get into my cadence, and it's Mike's 52, set blue 80, and then all of a sudden I see a blitz. Now I've got to change the protection. So in the second set of my numbers, before I say, hut, easy, rip, Y, we just made a protection check. Now I told everybody on the offensive line, we're going full slide to the right, the back, who is my running back. He's got the defensive end, he's off the edge. And I just made a protection check in the middle of my cadence, set hut, and we're going. You know, a lot of people don't realize that that's the thing. Those are the things that are happening. In this offense, it takes a lot of that responsibility off of the quarterback. He's in the shotgun. We go get to the line much faster. So now I'm not having to process the information so fast because I'm allowing the guy on the sideline that's getting paid $4.5 million to do all of the protection responsibility. I'm allowing the center to see things much sooner than if we were being a huddle. And so, you know, in a lot of cases, the offensive coordinator can call the protection check from the line of scrimmage or from the skybox. And there's value in that. And so from a raw standpoint of being in the system, the intricacies of the quarterback position, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 years down the road, maybe for a guy like Connor Nolan, he can get into that stuff. But I think early on, to survive, you got to take some of that pressure off of him.
See, that's just the fascinating stuff about it. The stuff that why we have you on the show, Tyler. Sometimes I get lost just listening to you.
Well, I never got to talk about it before because that reason everybody would get lost. But it is. I think it's fun. I love talking about it. I love training some of that, but. You know, I think the best way to do it is to simplify some of that complexity that happens. And I think some of the reason why some of the simple offenses do better.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.